having been there a few times as a delegate, the lobby.
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever.
Well, only ever as an underage delegate.
So, well, what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
All right, very welcome along to this week's edition of Friday Night Racing. It's Ger Gilroy and Johnny Ward with you this week. Friday Night Racing and Off the Ball is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie and you can follow the Twitter account at HRI Racing for all the up-to-date information that you need. And the hashtag is Every Racing Moment. Johnny, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Not too bad, Ger. How are you?
I'm very well. What's going on in your world?
I'm dialing in from Mallorca, actually, ahead of a big cycle on Sunday. So, yeah, first holiday in a while. And but, you know, me, Ger, even on holidays, I had to dial in and clock in and do my work for Off the Ball, you know?
I was whining about why you weren't in studio and the difference to the dynamic it makes, but I think it's fair enough. You're entitled to go on holidays, Johnny. Well done. Congratulations to you. I also want to say congratulations to our guest this week, Ray Hackett. Ray, how are you? How's it going? Ray's frozen there. We'll get back to Ray in just a moment. We'll try redialing him up there. Ray's on with us because he's had a phenomenal season, and in particular, it is the Gain the Advantage series. Gain, obviously, is all in caps. They're the sponsors of the series, which is run over 8 race courses from April to October, and it's to help a tier of trainers to make progress, essentially, Johnny. I think that's the best way of doing it. It's an initiative that entices people into making sure that you've got entry for certain races and that you see the races as a series and you try and put your best foot forward as often as you can across the season.
Yeah, since I've been away, I've kind of slightly missed the debate about where Gaelic football is going, and I'm sure you've been wrapped up in it and off the ball, and you know it might go down to the wire and all that, but this isn't dissimilar to that. It's kind of an attempt to, as was put by one of the guys in HRI speaking about the initiative, to democratise you know the whole racing game, because obviously it's the pie is kind of not exactly shared equally, a bit like the world itself, and you know most trainers do not have good horses, and they're scrapping away at a kind of a handicapping level. And Ray has, I think, to the best of my knowledge, has the guts of a dozen horses in training, and he is one of these trainers who's targeted this series. It's kind of like you know, maybe like a first division shield or something like that, to borrow from soccer parlance back in the day. And it gives these trainers a chance to win more prize money, which is really the lifeblood of the whole game, and to get a little bit of publicity as well, like appearing on this show today, because Ray wouldn't have that many horses in training. And he's run 7 horses maybe on the flat this year, and nearly half of them have won. I think he's had 3 winners, if not 4 winners so far this season. But he's obviously deliberately targeted this series because of the prize money and the initiatives on offer. And I'm all for these initiatives. I think kind of similarly enough, in terms of race planning, sometimes you get races that are restricted to jockeys who, for example, haven't ridden over 10 winners in the calendar year and stuff like that. And it can, a bit like the League Cup giving players a chance, it can give jockeys an opportunity to kind of show their talents on horses that have a chance, because you know, good jockeys are not going to get 100-1 shots to win, and Ray Hackett's not going to get a horse to win if the horse can't move, but he can win horses at the right level. And initiatives like this give trainers like that a bit of kind of publicity. They give them winners, which is what it's all about. And just watching the Facebook video that Ray was involved in with the yard, some really beautiful shots, and the young, you know, jockeys and young work riders, that what it means to them to have winners at any level. It's obviously not all about Cheltenham and Royal Ascot.
No, 100%. And it's obviously any governing body is trying to make sure that the second and third and fourth tier are actively encouraged and given opportunities and given their day in the sun.
Even the GAA.
Well, we'll see tomorrow. We will see tomorrow whether or not that is the case, or if some of the vested interests manage to get their way. So there's a culture war going on there. We'll talk about that again a little bit later on. But for now, let's talk a little bit about racing. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to enter our competition. The Flat Champion owner, trainer, apprentice jockey and jockey will officially be crowned at Naas Racecourse next Sunday, the 31st of October, Halloween, to celebrate their achievements, the 2021 flat season that gave us loads of brilliant racing moments. Naas Racecourse would like to give Friday Night Racing listeners a chance to win lunch for two at Race Naas Course next Sunday. just tell us who will officially be crowned champion flat jockey next Sunday. If you're watching on any of our social media channels, you can leave a comment on Twitter or you can leave one on the YouTube stream. If you're listening on the radio this evening, text us on 53106. We'll put all the names into a hat and we'll draw a winner and we'll be in touch. It is next Sunday afternoon. It's lunch 4-2 at Naas Racecourse next Sunday, the final day officially of the flat season when all of the various things are crowned. Speaking of which, and not giving too much away, given that he was the guest on the show last week, talk to us a little bit about just Colin Keane's incredible season and the level of achievement that he's at the moment.
Yeah, like it's I guess it's kind of been recognised for a long time in Ireland how good he is. Maybe he hasn't had quite the opportunities kind of on a global scale, but you know that he got that right last season, kind of winning on Tarnawa, on overseas raids, and his stats this season are totally off the charts. I'm just looking at his winning record now. He's 135 winners, 17% strike rate. He's shot 80, like Shane Foley next in 81, 55 back to Chris Hayes. It's rare you get a championship so dominated by Colin Keane. He ran away with the most winners in the season. What was this, like a couple of weeks ago, he'd already reached that target. So he basically obliterated the previous records. I think the key for Colin this season was the fact that and coming from last season, that Ger Lyons, we spoke to him maybe a month ago on the show, that he recognises how good Colin is and how loyal he is and also how reliable he is, but he was happy to give him kind of the okay to ride for other trainers, even if Ger had a runner in the race, and if Ger had an 8-1 shot in the race that might have had a chance, he was happy to say to Colin, you can you can ride a horse for Dermot Weld or whatever if it has a better chance. Colin rode 100 winners last season. Dunnock O'Brien was 111 the season before, 111 Dunnock O'Brien the season before that. Colin Keane, 100 in 2017. Pat Smullen, the late great Pat Smullen, 115 in 2016. Pat Smullen, the late great Pat Smullen, 103 in 2015. 2014, Pat Smullen with 108. 2021, Colin Keane already 135 and the season isn't over. His strike rate's very good. Brilliant, kind of just great attitude and really approachable as well.
Yeah.
Just a top lad.
But yeah, so we'll get to Ray Hackett in one second, but what's next for Colin Keane? Does he stay where he is now for the next and that operation becomes far more powerful, or at some point do you see him joining forces or becoming a free agent? What's if you were cast yourself forward and look back at what's going to happen, what do you think will happen?
It's a hard one to call, like, because Aidan O'Brien's dominance, I would predict, you know, it's probably not going to be quite what it was. You know, Alan Sweeten, an interesting article in the Race Post this week, there's a theory that Aidan hasn't had a great season, and it's kind of, I guess it's kind of like Man City winning the league but not winning it impressively. That'll be kind of the comparison, in that Aidan hasn't had a bad season. He's had a lot of group and grade one winners. It's just that he's kind of, some of his bigger players have maybe disappointed. But what's staggering really is that Aidan is actually behind Jessica Harrington and miles behind Joseph O'Brien in terms of Irish winners. He's 84 winners from 453. So why am I getting to this? I suppose Colin Keane was linked with the job with Aidan O'Brien, but he rides for Ger Lyons, who's had 82 winners this season, is arguably, you know, as good a trainer as he's getting this country, an unbelievable strike rate. But a trainer who's last year registered Classic Glory and has been growing, and I think their relationship is very good. Colin, to the best of my knowledge, still dates Ger's daughter, Kerry. So he is kind of part of the furniture, really, there. If you were to move to Britain, Ger, notwithstanding that it's a completely different ballgame over there, it's not certain to work out. I've often made the point with regard to soccer players that I think soccer players would prefer to, like the rest of us, they'd prefer to live in Ireland if they could, around their family, rather than move to England. I think Colin's very happy in Ireland. I don't necessarily see him going anywhere in the near future. If Dermot Weld were happy with the arrangement such that Colin could ride for him in the big races like on Tarnawa, and Ger says, says the relationship is fine as it is, let's go.
Okay. I'm delighted to say we've got Ray Hackett with us. Hopefully the connection is good. Ray, good afternoon to you. How are you?
All good, Ger, thanks.
Yeah, no worries. Listen, congratulations. We were talking a little bit there about the Gain the Advantage series. Johnny was explaining how it works and the importance of it in the season. Can you maybe give us your perspective? You've obviously won it and there's a cash prize that comes with it, which is fantastic. But when you sat down at the start of the season to plot your course of what you wanted to achieve in 2021, how important was the series for you? And to as like a kind of second tier of why you wanted to go for these races? Just how did that all fit in and how did it come together?
Well, just the whole conditions of it just suited us. I looked at it from the point of view where the prize money was very good. Obviously, there were certain races in it that we couldn't target. We didn't have horses for nurseries and certain types of races. So we just picked the races, and from there, we worked our horses around having them peaking at that time. And luckily, we got the first one on the board, and from there then, it just gave us the incentive to, do you know what I mean, to drive on and stay pursuing it.
Yeah, so it was something that you targeted from the very get-go of the year.
Yeah, because as that calibre of horse, you wouldn't get to race for that kind of money in a one-off race otherwise, you know. And the way I looked at it, if they were lucky enough to win it, you still only get the one penalty off the handicapper. They could more than likely stay within their own grade, and you get another go at picking up a pot.
So it's win-win, really.
Well, we thought so, yeah. When we looked at it and the way the point system was structured, it gave the small lot a chance. And look, we're not going to be fighting for anything, do you know what I mean, as regards championships or titles or anything like that. And it was just like a little mini league for us. And even the races that we weren't involved in, we had a very keen interest in watching them and seeing who was doing well or who was likely to catch us. And it was just, you know, it made the whole summer very interesting for us. Like,
yeah, we did the Tote 10 to Follow at the start of the year, and you know, we didn't have a financial interest in it, but I could definitely see how it sucks you in, particularly when the ones that you don't have a runner in are like, well, who's going to make up a little bit of ground on me here?
Yeah, and so even without even having a bet in the race, you're shouting certain horses on more so than others. And like I said, it's just a great interest throughout the whole summer. It gave us something to target. It created a real buzz in the air, do you know what I mean? And all the lads bought into it. Look, we probably could have raced the horses a little bit more if we weren't gunning for this. But when you hold them and they're fresh and well going for it, it just gives you a fighting chance. And look, thank God it worked out.
So the first one was Lord McSee. This was Navin back in May. Is that the first one in the series, is that right?
Yeah, that was a sprint. He was literally the only horse we had for that. I didn't know a terrible amount about him. He was working well at home. I thought he'd run a really solid race. Didn't mind putting any pressure on Connor. Connor works for me, and he gave him a super ride on the day. And Navin being Navin, when you hit the hill, they started to slow and he picked them off one by one.
So Conor Clark is Conor you're mentioning there. That was the first win of his career as well. So these are the horses that we're talking about, and this is the experience of some of the jockeys we're talking about. Like, Conor could go on to be a superstar, I don't know. But the point is, I suppose, that it's given everybody an opportunity to be part of something bigger.
Yeah, look, it's massive for the likes of Conor, Jarrah. Like, he hasn't come through the pony racing scene or anything like that. He finished out his leaving cert. He's a local lad to us here at home. He came to me looking for a job, and we said we'd see how it works out. He works hard. He's entitled to get his opportunities. And look, he grasped it with both hands.
Because then
it's actually very rare that we hear a jockey that's of that kind of, I suppose, that age and coming from any background in racing that did finish his or her leaving cert. And why did he then decide, Ray, that, you know, or what was it that education was important for him? Did he think that it would be a good kind of foundation if things didn't work out in racing? Or?
Yeah, I think if you'd ask Connor now, I think there's more to do with his mum than him. So. But look, I said he got it. He has it there to fall back on, which I think is very important. This is a tough game. There's no guarantees, even go winning race like that, you know what I mean? It's a long way up the ladder. And like, there's a lot of hard work involved in it. It's a great start for him, but you know what I mean? He needs to keep his feet in the ground, and he's working hard at it, and he's trying, you know what I mean? He's working on his fitness at home, and all them things will stand to him. But like I said, you need an awful lot of luck to make it.
Well,
it's funny as well that racer will say, the horse running over 5 furlongs at Navin, like, you know, if you speak about, I suppose, a player's first goal, like, I guess, Ray, that first win for him, it's over in a flash, like a 5 furlong sprint. The horse got up on the line. It looked as if Conor wasn't entirely sure. The horse like ridden out nearly after the line. He's like, I have to get the job done here. One by a head, and then it's over. It's like a dream come true.
Yeah, look, like you say, Johnny, you don't even have time to think about it in them races. You just have to, just when the rest of the horses kick, you have to go with them, and you just have to try and keep your horse in the race. He was very lucky. Look, the brakes came our way that day. There's no point in saying any different. You know what I mean? It opened up where we wanted it to open up. The horse actually enjoys going between horses, and it worked out super. And he said when he passed one, he got a bit of momentum and the horse really started to motor for him. And like he just said, finding the whole way. He's a horse we think will stay a little bit further. So the stiff five was a huge help. A quicker five, we wouldn't have got there.
You won a month later in Ballinrobe and Conor's on board again. It's Rock On Shamey in, this is the second one, this is the Gain the Advantage Series handicap at Ballinrobe. When that happens, when you've won two in the space of a month, you must have at that point have thought, ooh, we're right in it here.
Yeah, felt we had a great chance then. But having said that, Ger, I knew there was only two races left in the series after that that I'd have horses for. So, you know, you're hopeful, but like I said to you earlier, you're just hoping no one is catching you in the meantime. I said, we knew we'd have a horse for the ladies race in Tipperary, and we knew we'd be able to hold on to one of them for the race in Laois last Sunday. And they were the only two we'd left. So, like, we needed a bit of luck with results elsewhere as well.
Yeah, it's like a golfer coming in and putting a clubhouse score in early on the Sunday and sitting there waiting for everybody to catch up.
Yeah, there's very little you can do about it. I said we weren't in control of where we were going to sit going into Laois.
I'm interested, Ray, as well, because you mentioned the ladies' race. So that was County Limerick amateur rider Anya O'Connor wins that one for you on Sequoia Sprint. And again, what's happening here is that people who don't often have the opportunity to get into the limelight are winning races that are, because they're part of a bigger series. Again, it's a huge win in terms of your career, and all of a sudden what might just be a run-of-the-mill race is elevated in its lustre and its value.
Yeah, everything about it, again, were brilliant from the get-go, Gerard. Do you know what I mean? The way they promoted it, everything. Like, Anya is a very good girl, do you know what I mean? She doesn't need me or my horses to promote her. Like, everyone knows how good she is. I was very, very lucky to be able to get her for that race. Gary Cribben organised that for me. And a huge credit goes to Gary. I use a lot of Gary's jockeys. And he was very good, got her on board. And when you have a girl like that in them races, do you know what I mean? You've a good fighting chance.
Just talk to us a little bit about your own yard then, Ray. Before you come on, Johnny was saying he thinks you've about 12 to 15 horses in training at any one point. So when you were making the case or making the point earlier on that it's you can take nothing for granted in this game, there's very fine margins between having a great year and having a bad year when you've got so few horses in the yard.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a couple of injuries, Ger, and your season is thrown up in the air. It's hard when you have them kind of... Look, it's easy to manage them kind of numbers, don't get me wrong, but it's a small bit of bad luck and you're looking at a barren spell for a couple of months and it's mentally tough at that stage then. And it's, you know, you're doing all the same work, but you haven't the horses to go to war with, and you're just there plugging away and you're waiting for your turn to come again. And that's all you can do.
How long are you at it now, Ray?
I think about 8 or 9 years, Ger.
Right, so what was the decision in your own head to go and say, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'll get the licence, I'll go for it?
It was kind of a necessity more so than we were involved in buying foals and selling them at stores, and that's what Dad was at, and I was after getting into that with him. And we had a couple of stores left when the thing went wallop and they were worth nothing to go to. So it was going to cost us money to go to the sales. So we had to do something with them. And we said, here, why not have a rattle at this and see, can we make something of them and turn them over that way? Try and get them to do something on the track.
when you talk about the store horses there, Ray, as well, like maybe people listening in wouldn't be familiar with the store horse. The store horse is essentially an embryo jumps horse who's, you know, three years of age, whatever, waiting to go down the yard. But has there been a switch? Has there been a kind of transition in recent years where I've noticed this anywhere, owners are seemingly more inclined to look for flat horses? They can take them out of claimers. They can either buy them as yearlings and buy them as two-year-olds, run them away. Like, is there a change in terms of maybe people don't have the patience anymore for the likes of the young National Hunt horse?
I don't know, is it patience, Johnny, or is it just the pint-to-pint thing has gone so strong and it's so competitive? And
so you have a really high level of the really good pint-to-pint horse, but then the rest of them are just way down in terms of value.
Yeah, but Johnny, to go to a store sale now and to see a horse that you'd like that would have cost 10,000-15,000 a couple of years ago, that horse is now making 30,000. And like for a small yard or for a small man to make that work, it's savage pressure straight away. Whereas with your 10,000-pound horse, if you have to go to the racetrack and get him handicapped and have a bit of fun, it's not crucifying you. Whereas, I don't know, I think the value for the smaller man has gone out of the stores at the minute.
And do you find training flat horses, I mean, I'd nearly know you more as a trainer of jumpers, but you can obviously train sprinters as well. Do you find this, is it easier, is it less hassle, you know, obviously less injuries or whatever?
Less injuries, yeah, there is less work to put into them, Johnny. I would see myself as a National Hunt trainer more so than a flat trainer. The flat thing is really, it's essential from the point of view of keeping the air floating. You can run them more often. Your National Hunt horse, I said, you just pick up a nick jumping and you could lose a month here and there, whereas your flat horse could run three times in that month and very little chance of getting hurt. It's just from the point of view of, and it's like everything, Johnny, it's staying in the public eye as well, and not just disappearing, and it's just to be out and racing and let people know you're still there and try and stay in the game, and you might pick up an owner here and there.
It's a really interesting game.
Well, on the owner thing then, sorry, George, just the only thing, because you're one of these trainers, they're racing your maroon and white colours, they're invariably running those colours. You see the likes of maybe John Ryan, Jim Bulger obviously comes to mind, the flat, where it's essentially, You own the horse. Is that by choice, or is it that it is actually hard for a small yard? You're in around Nina, so you're surrounded by other trainers. It's just hard to get owners.
Yeah, no, I'd love someone else to own them, Johnny. Do you know what I mean? I'd love someone else to be paying the bills. It's the way it is. Look, I got into it. It was my choice to have them horses. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I got stuck with them. But yeah, you'd love to have a few more owners, but we're in an area here where it's very, very competitive. I said, John Ryan is nearby, you have Dennis Hogan, do you know what I mean? You have Tom Hogan. There's loads of people around this area, and there wouldn't be that many owners. So it's hard to compete, you know what I mean? But we'll just stay plugging away. I have a good group of owners, and owners are coming back with new horses, and you don't always see him at the racetrack, Johnny, because I said a young horse might make the cut. But they go again. They replace that horse. Do you know what I mean? We sell it on. And I said, well, if they're not going to be competitive on the racetrack for both myself or the owner, it's of no real benefit.
We should correct, of course, that you're from Tumivara, not Nina. I suspect that might be important down where you're from, Ray.
From a GAA point of view, very.
There you go. Obviously, more famously associated with greyhounds than horse races. But can I just ask you about that? That there's a split personality or multiple personality required from somebody in your line, where you do need to be a marketeer and a self-publicist, and also good at the business side, good at the scheduling side, and then good at the actual important part, which is making sure that the horses are competitive when the race is there, getting them to peak. It's like always on, always busy. So you kind of have to love the lifestyle to be able to manage all of those tasks at the same time.
Yeah, big time, Ger. It's 7 days a week. There's no point in saying any different. I said, my family have made huge sacrifices as well. My wife and two kids, everybody is involved. Everybody helps out. Mum and dad at home the same way. I have two brothers there as well, and do you know what I mean? They're carrying the can a bit as well with it. It's a huge effort from all the family. It's not just me. I have a great team then with me at the moment. I have a very strong team put together at the minute in the air. Of savage help. It's making my life a lot easier this year. Concentrate more on just planning where I'm going with the horses, what I'm doing. The marketing end of it, Ger, would be no good at that. So just let the horses do the talking if they're good enough.
You see the horse do the talking. If you and people listening in and watching, if they get the chance to look up Facebook and look up the game series from Nace and look up the video with Ray, because I don't think we appreciate enough that the horses are the stars in horse racing. And, you know, we've had so much negative publicity in Britain over the last few weeks, not to mind in 2021. And racing over there faces a challenge in terms of maintaining its place in the public discourse and in the public love. But, you know, everyone in Britain and Ireland, basically, we're all animal lovers. And if you watch the video from Ray's, you will see these bonny horses in their stables. They're happy out. And I don't know, Ray, I think we need to celebrate that, because even the likes of Rock on Shamey and these horses at a modest level, they've great character. You know, they're lovable animals. They're amazing creatures to look at. They all have their own sort of quirks and kinks and personalities. And the people looking after them individually love them as if they're basically part of the family. And I don't know, we need to kind of sell that, I think, to people, particularly on social media, and people who think the racing is all about gambling.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Johnny. And I said, that's very well put. It's even, and that's the thing we have in the air. The simplest part of the job for all of the lads is going to the gallop and riding them out. It's how you mind them after that, how you care for them. It's making sure, like you say, they're all happy, they're all in good form. I said, we're lucky just with the small numbers, get the opportunity to turn our horses out every day. So they're out in the fields, they have freedom to roam. It's it works well for us. There's work involved in it now this time of the year, do you know what I mean, with horses coming in covered in mud and trying to keep them clean and stop mud rash and all the different issues that come with that. But it's very important for their headspace and to keep them fresh and well, to be able to turn them out. And just, you get longer out of your season doing it that way, Johnny, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so the lads are brilliant, do you know what I mean, for that end of it as well as the riding.
Take us back to then to the decision. You said you kind of had no choice almost when it started. At some point along the way, you might have been able to step away and say, okay, I'm going to do something else. You obviously haven't, because you've got a knack for it, and success must have happened at some point early on, or at least the beginnings of the hint of success must have happened for you. You're like, I'm going to go for this. What was that like?
Well, I've always loved the jury. So if I could have walked out of school and had a dream job, this would be it. You know, it's not a job that I despise and I don't like doing. I love it. I love getting up every morning. I love going down facing into a day of horses. It's very rewarding regardless of racing. What you put into a horse, if he's able, he'll give it back to you. We've been very lucky, Ger, from early on. I suppose we had a great day in Kilbeggan a few years back. We had a horse, I won't say set up for a bumper, but we lined him up for a bumper. He opened up 50-1 that morning. He returned 9-2 and Julie obliged for us. So that was that was a very good day.
You love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, that worked out super. Danny. Do you know what I mean? I said, I suppose in one way it spoils you, and you're the whole time looking for the next one that you can do that with.
But yeah.
That's not that easy.
No, it turns out it's not, I'd say. But so obviously then, if this was something you loved and you'd been around horses your whole life, you kind of had in your head what type of a trainer you would be if you ever became a trainer. So it wasn't like you were walking in going, Jesus, what do we do now? You obviously had a philosophy and a style that you wanted to bring to bear.
Well, I just wanted to do it my own way. You know, so Dad was in horses all his life, and he's a serious knowledge of horses, and like he's a huge help to me. Like he sees small things, and like I'm learning the whole time off him. And it's I haven't copied anyone. I love reading other trainers and the way they do it and taking a little bit of everybody's and just kind of work that into our system without completely just taking one trainer and go,
yeah,
that's what I'm going to do. It's like Johnny said earlier, like with the small numbers, do you know what I mean? It's a small thing and you can go very, very quiet. So the key for us is to not over-drill the horses at home, and if they come on for the race, great, rather than doing too much at home and maybe getting a silly injury from just turning the screw too tight.
And you knew that from being around horses, and obviously your dad being around horses, you kind of had a sense of what that would look like before you started training. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think Ted Walsh said one time, Ger, he was asked, like, how do you know when a horse is nothing left in it? He says, how do you know when you're squeezing an orange that it's nothing left in it? It's to say, you know by looking at him. Do you know? It's, if you're out of juice, you're out of juice. So you have to mind the horse and you work him gradually and you build him and gradually get him towards races rather than throwing the kitchen sink at him early.
In a way, it was a bit of a gamble to back yourself to decide that actually I'm going to take this step and bring everybody with me. Because, you know, as you said, it's not you alone. You're the tip of the spear that we're talking to today. But obviously that whole huge operation is behind you. So there's a bravery in that.
Bravery or stupidity, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's working. It seems to be working out. And I'm sure it's a struggle. I'm sure, and you know, it seems as if you're doing the right thing. You're happy.
Yeah, look, I said, very happy. Look, Ger, don't get me wrong. There's times this game and it gets staged, you know what I mean? And people don't see that. And it's hard, like. And I said, you need good support around you at them times. And I said, it's, you know, like last winter, I had nothing for heavy winter ground, nothing to go to war with. And you're looking at it and you're going, where's the next winner coming from? Do you know? And it's tough then. And you just have to stay believing. And like I said, it's a good team behind you. And it's just about keeping the head right then and just stay patient and stay believing that what you're doing is the right thing.
How do you do that? How do you keep the head right? What are your mechanisms for coping?
Ice baths at the moment.
Right.
Wow. You for the horses or for you?
That's hardcore.
It's, do you know what, it's great to clear, you can think of nothing when you get into it, sir.
I just had a swim in I'm in Mallorca, as I mentioned at the show. I just got into the water there and the water is quite balmy, and it got me thinking of the Irish water at this time of year. And I was in the 40 foot last week in Sandy Cove, and it's getting colder, and then I started thinking of the winter swimming, and I started kind of bracing myself for anyone who's getting into the water. But I have never even contemplated getting into an ice bath, not to mind as a jockey, but certainly not as a trainer.
Yeah, look, Johnny, it's for my own personal benefit, you know what I mean? I said it just clears the mind. It just completely, you can only focus on one thing, and that's the breathing. And just everything else just disappears out of your mind for that short space of time that you're in it. There's a feel-good factor
in it,
and you get out of it.
How long do you last, Ray?
It depends, sir. I'll do anything from 3 to 10 minutes.
Wow, 10 minutes?
Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Now, have you, Ger, have you ever tried to jump in the water in any time from December to March and try to stay in it for any more than 90 seconds?
After the duathlon, I was sorely wishing that we had ice baths. I definitely felt like I would have benefited from it. But I have to confess, I got into the sea in Rosnaula in Donegal about 9-10 weeks ago, and I had a wetsuit on. That'll tell you. Now, it was full of jellyfish, which I found out about afterwards. So that's my excuse for wearing it. But I needed it. I was still freezing. So no, I am absolutely a chicken when it comes to this stuff. So I'm unbelievably impressed by staying in an ice bath for 10 minutes.
It's not that, Jerry. It's just the mindset. See, what you're doing is working on your mind and making, just you're giving, when you can do that, and you know you can set your mind to do that, it just, that you bring that into every day then, do you know what I mean? And you stay focused on what you're doing. It's just good that way.
When you're reading the books, or you're reading, sorry, other trainers, I don't know if it is books or if it's actually just in interviews they give about what they do, and you're taking little bits from it. It's kind of like all of us are little magpies when it comes to any advice we might be able to get. It always strikes me that there's a weird camaraderie slash ruthlessness, again, split personality between the trainers in particular, because they all need each other to thrive, to keep the industry going, but they all also need to beat you every day they possibly can. So it's a very strange relationship. Are there other trainers who you can bounce ideas off, or would it actually more likely be other people in the industry who aren't direct competitors?
No, I don't. I said, I don't go looking for information off anybody. Do you know what I mean? I said, there's lots of trainers there, like ourselves, very good trainers that you get on very well with. Do you know, I wouldn't say there's any trainer that I wouldn't get on with. There's certain trainers I don't know. But there's good trainers around. And when you get talking to the likes of Harry Kelly and his brother Jimmy there, do you know what I mean? You can talk to the lads at the races and you'd be trying to help each other out, and it'd be only small things, do you know?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if we're in a race against each other, yeah, you want to finish ahead of him every day.
I just think it's really interesting that we've definitely reached a point where everybody realises that you do need to look after your brain and your mental health and your ability to think clearly under pressure. And that it's actually something that you can coach yourself in and help and get better at. After, you know, I'd say previous generations would have been doing that almost without deliberately doing it. It would have happened because they had good support networks, or in some cases they didn't do it and they didn't have good support networks and it led to difficulties for them. So, you know, I think you've got to try and get any advantage you possibly can given the size of your operation.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Jerry, in a selfish way, I'm doing that for my own benefit, you know what I mean? And to keep myself in a good place, and that's probably a selfish thing in a way. But I just feel if it's not right at the top, it can't be right at the bottom. And so I need to be in a good, positive frame of mind every day I go in, and I need the lads to see that I believe what we're doing is the right thing and that we're moving forward. We can't just stand still and just go, we won the game series, that's it, done. Like I said, we need the next winner, do you know what I mean? We were in Thurles yesterday, didn't have a winner, do you know what I mean? And it's on to the next day, and that's the way it is. And I said, game is over now. It was brilliant. It's fantastic. We've got unbelievable. But to be sitting here talking to yourself and Johnny, do you know what I mean? I never dreamed that had happened.
Jesus, yeah.
No, do you know, like I sit at home and I listen to this on a Friday evening and I listen to all the different people and I talk, and you genuinely don't think that you'll be one of them, do you know?
What guests have you been taken with so far that have spoken well?
Sorry, Jay?
What guests or what trainers do you think speak well when they come on off the board or whatever platform?
I should look at. In fairness, you got to hand it to Jerry Lyons. He's very good and very open. I thought Ado was very good after winning the Group 1. Like even to listen to Sandy Shaw the evening he was on, do you know?
We couldn't shut him up. I mean, the handicapper's supposed to just not say anything, do his job. He wants to be on the radio all evening.
We're happy for that, Johnny. That's a good thing.
Yeah, he took his chance, didn't he, at the limelight.
Well, yeah, it is true though, like Jared, that people, most people won't know Ray Hackett, and it is nice to get that chance, because I've always thought, Ray, that the story of, I don't want to call you a journeyman, but I think the story of the smaller jockey, the smaller trainer, is far more compelling at times than the champion.
Yeah, look, a journeyman is fine, Johnny. That's not insulting. Do you know what I mean? Like we're well aware of where we are on the ladder. Do you know, we're not pretending that we're going taking on Aidan O'Brien next year. Tom Boy, Aidan O'Brien having a bad season there earlier. I'd love to have that bad season. You know, it's different levels, and it's just being happy at what you're doing.
That's it.
And
that is it.
Get up to the next rung of the ladder. That's better again.
Yeah. No. There's a lot to be said for job satisfaction, but in your case, it's not a job. It's actually a way of life, and it is. It's 7 days a week, but that's who you are and that's your identity and it's your family's identity, and it's an amazing thing to see it rewarded the way it has been rewarded. But it's also great to know that, I mean, obviously if it hadn't been, you'd still have been happy notwithstanding the difficulties, and I think it's great that we're able to tell these stories and to listen to you tell your story. So when you say you're driving standards and you're looking for the next winner, in the medium term, what's next? How do you get up the next rung? Is it trying to find a horse that's slightly better quality than the horses you have at the moment? Is that the kind of eternal search that you're on at the moment?
Yeah, it's look, Jerry, you always want to get a better caliber horse. Do you know, it's like I'm not out there going, I need to replace this. And it, like every horse we have has a job to do, and we try and get the best out of every single one of them. We have a couple of lovely young four-year-olds in at the moment, and you're hoping one of them will be the next real good one. I was very, very lucky to come across a real good mare called Cracker Dancer. She won a list of bumper furs and everything. She was just in hard luck with injuries to her knees and stuff. But if you could get another one like her, that's what you're looking for, yeah.
Did she have any foals?
No.
That was maybe Ger has been talking, Ray, of getting an off-the-ball syndicate. Maybe you could be the man finally entice him to get the off-the-ball colours on a jockey and maybe running for the Hacker team.
that's what he should be doing, Johnny, supporting the small letter, the journeyman, as you
absolutely
call us.
We're all journeymen, really, but some of us are looking at the stars and all that.
Oh yeah, excellent way of butchering the quote there, Johnny. I just want to say thanks to your wife Siobhan and your son Liam, who are obviously the technological people who made the call possible. Ray, you've been great with your time. It wouldn't be ridiculous though if somebody was to record the whole season and write the book. I understand your wife Siobhan is an author.
Yeah. No, well, we haven't done it. There won't be any book about it anyway, Jerry. I can guarantee you that.
Well,
she is, yeah.
If you start with the ice bats and finish with who knows winning the Classic in a couple of years' time, it's a good old story.
Well, that'd be great. But if you were to ask me to pick, I'd probably say a Gold Cup. So.
Fair enough. Mm. Fair enough. That's not a bad Beggar ending to the story.
Yeah, no, it'd be lovely. Look, I said, the way we're going, Jerry, if we could get a runner to Cheltenham Festival, it'd be fantastic. But I'd like to go over with a horse that has a realistic chance of running well in it, rather than just going over for the journey.
And yeah.
Like I said, I'd rather stay at home than just do that. But I said, if we could get one good enough to go over, that'd be fantastic.
Every year, though, there's a story, Ray, of a trainer from your size who makes it there. So that, I guess, that's what keeps the dream alive, and that's what keeps you getting up every morning.
Yeah, it is. There's always, and like there's so many people in the game the same size as ourselves. We're very, very lucky to be getting the publicity at the minute. Next week it'll be someone else. There's loads of capable trainers out there, any amount of them, and it's a real tough competitive game over here because of the quality of trainers we have in this country. And we're lucky to have them.
Definitely driving standards, all right. Ray, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us today. Congratulations again. Cheers.
All the best, Ray.
Pleasure, lads. Thanks, sir. Thanks, Johnny.
That's Ray Hackett there giving us the story of his season so far, which obviously, from a flat perspective, has ended with a big old jump in prize money, the extra 50 grand that he got from the Gain Advantage series there. Johnny, there's a number of other stories that we need to get into. A reminder, Friday Night Racing is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. We'll do the good stuff from your perspective first. The final podium places for the Tote 10 to follow have been decided. Tom Malone, the clear winner, with a margin of 172 points. Johnny was in second. Some people call that first loser, Johnny. And I was in
second
third.
Comes right after first.
I had you on the ropes for a few weeks there, but it just wasn't to be. Ran out of steam a little bit in the end. Tom added 92 points to his tally last weekend alone, thanks largely to the big-priced Sealyway taking the Champion Stakes at Ascot. He also scored place points in the same race with McSweeney coming third. I had Mishriff, which was not great. The jumps tend to follow just around the corner. Time to get the form books out ahead of the start of that season. We mark your cards for the National Hunt season sooner rather than later. A couple of other things we need to talk about, right? Ketamine, a.k.a. Special K, in the papers, in the news this week. John Gosden has been fined but cleared of wrongdoing. Fined £500, but cleared of intentional wrongdoing after one of his horses tested positive for ketamine. What's the crack with this?
Yeah, so Franconia, would be a good horse actually, disqualified because she tested positive for ketamine, and effectively what was put forward as the excuse was that it was the recreational use of effectively one of the persons looking after the filly. That, I mean, don't ask me how this happens, but he's been exonerated effectively. The BHA case was, you know, I think he was fined a nominal amount, whatever. And often, I often find in Ireland that, you know, often this an excuse is put forward for something, but like, I'm not going to second guess John Gosden, a man of his ilk. I mean, why he would even contemplate something like this. So I completely believe the suggestion put forward. And he spoke to the BBC, Gary Richardson, that he said there was a problem in the country with recreational drugs is endemic. Now, what's interesting there is, John Gosden is a flat trainer in Britain, and if you're a flat trainer in Britain and go to a reasonably high-profile flat race meeting in Britain, you will quite clearly attest to the fact that unless you're living unless you were born in a cabbage plant, you will know that drugs are fairly rampant in society in Britain, as he says, in a recreational level. And he spoke about that, but what I suppose what's more to the point here is he had a pop at the BBC for its... But I'm not sure I'm paraphrasing here, but he might have implied that the BBC had a sort of an anti-racing agenda. And as usual with John Gosden, he's 100% right. And I have serious issues with the BBC's coverage of racing over the last few years.
Do they really have an anti? Why would 100%. They have, like, why would anybody? So I don't think that any actual full massive corporation, particularly one like the BBC, is going to suddenly get it into its head one day to be anti an entire thing.
So was it 2 or 3 years ago? I was at Cheltenham, and the morning of Cheltenham, I think it was the Tuesday morning of Cheltenham. I'm in my house in Cheltenham, whatever, throw on the news, and the BBC leads with its narrative. Cheltenham is the biggest race meeting in jumps, bar none. It's everyone's mecca. As you know yourself, Ger, from people that you will know have no interest in racing. They have bets and horses in Cheltenham. It's how I got into racing. I absolutely fell in love with the buzz from it. And yet BBC was leading that day with the fact that racing was trying to cut down on its equine fatalities at Cheltenham. Now, you may say that's fair enough. I thought it was an utterly bizarre line to take for someone. So you're saying, like, our biggest festival, and in terms of the mass hysteria in the sport around how good these horses are and the big championships, it's like the World Cup semi-finals or the World Cup finals, and you're leading with equine fatalities, which is unfortunately part of the sport, but it wasn't the narrative. And any time I've ever been asked to go on the BBC to talk about racing, it's because it's Gordon Elliott or it's something to do with drugs or it's negative. And the BBC, I think, said to John Gosden, is drugs a major problem in racing, when there's really no proof whatsoever that it is. And he called him out on that. And I think Ray Hackett did a better job maybe in promoting what the sport is actually about than I can. But yeah, I do think, and I'll go on record and say this, I think the BBC's general coverage of racing is very much slanted towards the negative.
Okay, there's probably about an hour's worth of debate and back and forth in that.
The BBC's not here, obviously, to say otherwise.
Exactly. Well, that's one aspect. And, the entire corporation, I don't believe. I'd say that there's an element of them trying to cover the sport in the news section. I'd say the sports section probably was leading with the actual racing itself. And the news performs a different function from the sports departments. And to say that the whole thing is the same, I think, is a mistake. But okay, so John Gosden versus the BBC is one of the stories of this week. You said we need to talk about Luxembourg as well?
We always need to talk about Luxembourg. I mean, what's not to like about Luxembourg? Aidan O'Brien, as we mentioned, I don't know, he hasn't had a great year, but he obviously hasn't had a bad year. But what's been fascinating, Galileo's passing has obviously... it's the changing of the guard in some respects, in that he's been such an all-conquering stallion, like so dominant in terms of all the records that he's broken, emulating and bettering his dad, Sadler's Wells. There isn't an obvious heir apparent for him unless Frankel might be that, but Frankel horses are more tricky than a lot of the Galileos. So Galileo's passed away, and Aidan O'Brien's main horses this season generally, which is very unusual, have not been by Galileo, and one of them is Luxembourg, whose dad, Camelot, won the Guineas and the Derby. whose grandfather was Monjou. Monjou sired St. Nicholas Abbey, who I think was one of the most popular horses of his generation. And he is so much like St. Nicholas Abbey, I think, in the way he's gone about his business in two starts today. He's a slightly high head carriage, but he's kind of like, if you're playing a game of Astro and you're not really sure of the teams and you ask this lad and he's not really doing anything, but it's kind of like there's 5 minutes to go and then he's like, actually, I'm just going to turn it on here and win the game. And that's what he does. He just responds when he's woken up from his slumber in races. He's been really, really impressive visually. And he goes for what was the Old Racing Boys Trophy at Doncaster is now the race, the Virtue and Futurity. But what's interesting, his main rival may be the wonderfully named Sissoko, who's trained by Donico O'Brien and who's runs in the colours of Justin Carty. But I think we have the winner of the Derby next year, I think possibly in the shape of Luxembourg. And I would strongly advise that if you're into having a bet long term, have a bet on Luxembourg. I think he's 7 or 8 to 1 to win the Derby next year. I think he could be absolutely super.
Okay, so we're going to see Luxembourg at Doncaster tomorrow in that race. Are there other races that people should be looking out for at Doncaster?
Yeah, and obviously closer to home as well, Leopardstown. That's by far the main race at Doncaster tomorrow. And the rest of the card, just looking very briefly here, is it's okay. It's a listed race and a couple of handicaps. Closer to home, Leopardstown has a really good card. Just some fascinating, I know it's late season and all that, but race scores obviously been deprived of them racing for a long time. They're able to go back racing now. Galway as well is racing, but Leopardstown has a really good card. There's one listed race, which is the Knockair Stakes, and then the Airfield Stakes, which is Group 3. It's a very good card, but if you're at Leopardstown and Luxembourg is running, I think everyone will be looking at that race as well.
Okay, there's racing at Galway and Leopardstown tomorrow. What are you looking out for there?
At Galway, I'm going to give up my friend the wind, the 14. He's taken on Glencairn Castle, who's up for a 5-timer for Martin Brassel, which is incredible going for a horse of his ability. My friend the wind is interesting. It's trappy enough racing, but I suppose more of the focus will be on Leopardstown. Be very interesting to see. Jim Bulger has a horse running. I mean, I don't know when we last had Jim on the show, but he's talk about defying convention. He's a 2-year-old running who ran. He made his debut and he was well touted. He was just touched off. Then 2 days later, he went straight into a listed race and was just touched off in fourth. And now he's running tomorrow, which is 7 days later. So he's a 2-year-old horse, Boundless Ocean, who's running 3 times in the space of give or take 8 days. They say you shouldn't do that with a normal horse. To do it with a 2-year-old is completely throws the racing rule book out the window. That's the way Jim rolls, though, and he's probably not going to change this stage of his life. He's very interesting as well.
Okay, we'll keep a close eye on that. Johnny, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this week. What's the story of your cycle tomorrow? How long is it?
It's on Sunday. It's 312K. I'd say a lot of marathon runners, and I'm not saying this is remotely like a marathon because I would never even contemplate running a marathon, but I suppose if you've... what did they say? If you've gotten to 16 to 18 miles or something, you think you might do it. I haven't tackled any more than 200. So it's a step into the unknown, but amazing terrain around here in Mallorca, just full of cyclists, very hilly, a lot of kind of tight bends, really good roads, beautiful, beautiful scenery and all that. So hopefully I get through with her. And if I don't, sure, I'll be carried home, I suppose.
On that note.
Alive.
We wish you... Yeah. Okay, that was grand. Right, well, not in the box. Not down in steerage. Well, we wish you the very best of that, and we do hope you come alive home. Thanks a million, Johnny. Cheers. We'll see you next week.
All the best,
Friday Night Racing and Off the Ball is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. I'm going to give you one final opportunity to enter our competition. The Flat Champion, owner, trainer, apprentice jockey and jockey will be officially crowned at Nace Racecourse next Sunday, the 31st of October. To celebrate their achievements in the 2021 flat season that gave us loads of brilliant racing moments, Nace Racecourse would like to give the Friday Night Racing listeners a chance to win lunch for two at Nace Racecourse next Sunday. Just tell us who will officially be crowned champion flat jockey next Sunday. Send your answer to @offtheball on Twitter, or if you're listening on the radio, text us on 53106 and we'll put your names in a hat and we'll draw the winner. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.